speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Many years ago, Brother V.E. Howard was the speaker on the International Gospel Hour. Some of you may remember him being the speaker on that program. If you did, you remember a phrase that he would repeat periodically throughout the lesson. And it would be, "Are you listening?" He would speak on a little while longer, and then he would say, "Are you listening?" By means of introduction, I'd like to use an illustration that happened to me personally. Several years ago, Coretta's paternal grandfather passed away, Pelham Bristow, in the big city of Lynn, Arkansas. Lynn is approximately the size of Centertown, maybe if you stretch it, Viola. There was no place to stay there in the town, so we went to the next little town where there were hotels called Hoxie, Arkansas. When we got there, it was late at night, and we went on into the hotel, and we lay down to sleep, and about 15 minutes after we got there, the walls began to rattle, the pictures on the wall began to shake, and a train passed by, probably within 100 yards of the room we were staying in. All of us got a good laugh, thought it was funny, and then we tried to fall asleep. 15 minutes later, another train comes through, and the walls begin to rattle, and the pictures begin to shake, and we got another little laugh. It did that probably 25 times between then and daylight. Did not get any sleep at all. Next morning when I went to the counter to turn in the key, I told the lady, I said, "Why didn't you tell us that there were trains that would pass by all night long? I didn't get any sleep." She said, "Didn't you see the tracks?" I thought that maybe they passed by during the daytime. I did not realize that Hoxie, Arkansas is a crossroads east and west for all the trains that go from the east coast to the west coast. And they go through every few minutes all night long. I thought it was probably interesting because that lady had heard those trains go by day after day, week after week, year after year, to the point where she didn't hear them. It didn't even register that there was a train that went by. Our problem is sometimes that we are not listening. Some of you have heard my voice for years. You pretty well know what I will say on most subjects. When Jesus began to preach in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, He made a statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let him hear. Let me talk to you just a moment about ourselves. How often do people deceive themselves into thinking they are something they are not? If I were to ask you the question, are you teachable? Are you willing to listen and to learn? When I ask listen, I'm not saying do you hear the sounds, but are you listening to the voice? Galatians 6 and verse 3 says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Frequently we deceive ourselves. We think, yes, I'm teachable. Yes, somebody can tell me something. The word teachable is defined as apt to learn. Not only can a person learn, has the ability to learn, but has the willingness to listen and to learn. Or sometimes are we, and I know these words may appear to be strong, are we stubborn? Are we self-absorbed? Are we too proud to think there's something out there that we might need to know, to listen and to learn? So this morning, I want to look at three things with you for a few minutes. I want us to look, first of all, at some examples of those with closed minds. This is an area where a person could just simply spend a lot of time because the Bible is filled with people with closed minds. I want us, number two, to look at an encouragement to be eager. I want to learn. I want to know something. And then number three, to be enlightened. Let's begin, first of all, with this idea of an example of a closed mind. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read and study through the Bible, I frequently find myself confronted with the children of Israel. And if you'll go with me to the passage that Brother Jared read just a few moments ago from Deuteronomy 29, I'd like for you to picture the events, the background that has occurred prior to this passage. The children of Israel had been led by God's mighty hand out of the country of Egypt. He led them by the way of the wilderness of Sinai, carried them down to that southern point of the Sinai Peninsula, led them to Horeb, or Mount Sinai, if you will. If you will, for just a moment, let me again use another illustration from just about 3 weeks ago. When we were in Cairo, near the pyramids, we stayed in the Sheraton Dreamland Hotel. Beautiful hotel with marble floors, good food, comfortable rooms. We rode that 7-hour ride to Mount Sinai, and we arrived at the St. Catherine's Plaza Hotel. And when we did, there was rain pouring through the ceiling in the lobby, and there was water on the floor. There were people smoking there that the smoke was so thick you could barely get through it, and you had to go outside to get a fresh breath of air, and when you got out there, it was so cold you couldn't hardly stand it. We all got our luggage, which had been drugged through the mud. The people that unloaded them drugged their luggage through the mud. We got to our rooms, and at least three or four had no heat in their rooms. The furniture looked like it might have been unloaded off the ark. It was that old. And all of us were hungry. We were uncomfortable. The restaurant had cats running around on the floor. We came from a 5-star hotel to a minus 5-star hotel. And we were moaning, griping, complaining. And then it dawned on us that that's exactly what the children of Israel did. And some of us say we now seem to think we understand some of what they endured, what they went through. But God led them from Mount Sinai and their episode of idolatry with Aaron up to Kadesh Barnea and was going to carry them into the Promised Land, but because of their lack of faith, their lack of trust in God, God led them in a period of wilderness wanderings for 40 years. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 29, beginning with verse 2, Moses, and I'm not going to read all this again, points out to them, you have seen all these signs, you've seen all these wonders, you've seen everything that I have done. But he said, God did not give you eyes to see. He's letting you make the choice to listen and to see. And God is saying, I led you for 40 years, your clothes did not wear out, your shoes did not wear out, your sandals of your feet. You didn't eat bread or drink the wine or similar drink. God provided for every need they had. When they came to the land of promise and they met those trying to withstand them, God gave them victory over these kings. And then, in verse 9, he says, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. God says, you've not listened up to this point. I want you to start listening now. The question is, did they listen? No. Because as I go through the Old Testament, and I'm jumping forward because of time here, I'm jumping forward to the time of the Babylonian siege. For those of you who are in the auditorium on Wednesday night, we're studying Jeremiah, and we have seen so often that the people have gone to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, go to the Lord for us and ask Him what we ought to do, how we ought to live, and we'll do that whether we like it or whether we don't. And then when Jeremiah comes back and he presents the people with what God said, they said, we're not going to do that. We're not listening. And when he spoke to Ezekiel, who was in Babylon at this time, he said to him in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and has ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now think about Matthew 13:9 again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. They have ears, but they're not using them. They're not listening. Fast forward with me about 450 years to the time of our Lord and to Matthew chapter 13 and the words that follow verse 9. The apostles are going to approach our Lord and they're going to ask Him. And the disciples came to Him and said to Him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him it will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. He's saying, I am speaking to these people, and they have ears to hear, but they're not listening. And he says to them, in the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their eyes, or their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things that you see, and did not see it, and the things that you hear, and did not hear it. What a privilege it is to hear our Lord. And these people are not listening. They didn't listen at Mount Sinai. They did not listen in the Babylonian siege. They're not listening while our Lord is here. Let me just take one other instance. In Acts 28, the Apostle Paul has been arrested and carried to Rome. When he arrives at Rome, there are a number of Jews that are there that want to hear who Paul is and what Paul has done. And so he wants to present the gospel message to them. So Luke records, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of the Moses and prophets, from morning till evening. And some of them were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they could not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. He said, you've not listened all these years throughout all your generations. You've not listened. The Gentiles will listen. Look at this audience here this morning. We're Gentiles. None of us were born in the promised land. None of us were reared in that glorious place. And yet we have believed the message of who Jesus Christ is and been obedient to it. We're clearly warned not to follow or imitate those bad examples. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to this passage. This is one of the passages that you ought to have marked in your Bibles. It's one that deserves reading and understanding. The writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to explain that people in the past have missed it, and we can miss it too. They had something put before them, held out for them as something great, and they let it pass. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as unto them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished since the foundation of the world. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again He designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. If you'll hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts. God made a promise to them. You'll get rest when you get to the promised land. They didn't listen and they didn't make it. Not those whose voice heard that in the wilderness. God has made a promise to us. There is a rest awaiting. Heaven itself. And just like those people had that promise, failed to listen, you and I can fail to listen. If you drop down to verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. If I go on over to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at 3 verses 25 through 27, he makes reference again to Mount Sinai. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. He says God's voice then, when He spoke from Mount Sinai, thundered to such a point that the very mountain shook. And God said, when I speak again, it won't just shake the heaven or the earth, it'll shake the heavens as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, Paul would say, now these things happen to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Let's don't become overconfident. Let's don't get to the point where we say, hey, I'm willing to listen and to learn and to follow and be teachable. See, there were examples where they did not. Now, having established that first point, I want to move to the second idea, and that of an encouragement to be eager to listen and learn. One of the things that you will find if you approach the Bible is the fact that our Lord often held up children as being those of an example who are willing to listen and to learn. They are teachable. In fact, they're eager to learn. It's such a blessing to be around little children. They keep your mind sharp. They ask questions. Why are you doing this? What's this for? What's this about? In Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4, our Lord said, Jesus called a little child to Him and set him in the midst of them and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, what I want you to do is become like children in humility. Luke 10 and verse 21, Luke records, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord in heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Why is it that children can see things sometimes that we as adults miss? Because their minds are not full of prejudice. They're not full of preconceived notions. They don't have it already figured out. They're willing to see things and to listen and to learn. The humbleness of mind that a child possesses brings about this eagerness to learn. Children are like a sponge. They absorb it all. They're humble enough to realize what it is they do not know. And in praise of little children, we ought to be more like them. God wants His people to listen today. In John 6, Jesus is in the midst of preaching a very important sermon. The people to whom the Lord is preaching in John 6 are the people whom He fed the 5,000. And a lot of these people are here not for the right reason, they're there for the wrong reason. They're there because of the loaves and the fishes. But Jesus in verse 45 says, It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Why is it that more people don't come to the Father? Why is it there are more people who are not Christians? It's because they're not listening and they're not learning. They're not absorbing the message. In Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul would say, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some people today are not hearing enough of the Word of God to convert them. Some people who hear the Word are not listening to it to let it take place in their lives. But in the Bible, I see eagerness by some people. You want to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, to chapter 8. I want you to see the picture of what occurs here. These are the children of Israel who have returned from the Babylonian captivity. You've got Nehemiah, who's now the governor. You've got Ezra, who is the scribe. And what is taking place, the children of Israel have gathered together here to hear the message of God. So verse 1 says, Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord God had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday before the men and the women and those who could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Think with me, folks, for just a moment, how long he read. From morning till midday. And people were not playing with their papyri. They weren't tickling the ears of the little children. They were listening to what God's law said being read. And I want you to follow with me, verses 5 and 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for the assembly of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, I want you to visualize, he's standing up on a platform, a pulpit, if you will. When he opens up the book and he's ready to read, do you know what everybody does from morning to midday? They didn't sit on padded pews, they stood up to listen. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. These people were humble, childlike in their listening. One more illustration, and then I'm going to move on. Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey. They had gone through the island of Cyprus. They came to what is now southern Turkey, Perga and Pamphylia. They made their journey over the mountain range, and then they came to Antioch in Pisidia. As they arrive there, there's going to be an interest in what is being taught. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. Wouldn't it be remarkable if the whole city of McMinnville said, "You know what? We want to hear. We want to listen. We want to learn." I'm amazed as the gospel goes into areas where it has never gone before, or hasn't gone in many years. Places in India, places in Africa, places in Southeast Asia, and you will go and you'll have a missionary go in and almost the whole city will come out to hear the message of God. So you have examples of closed minds. You have an encouragement to be eager to listen and to learn. But then you want to be enlightened. You actually want to learn something. As I pondered going through all of this, I could not escape the wisdom that God gave Solomon. In Proverbs 1 and verse 5, he said, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Some people have this mistaken idea that if I ask a question, that means I'm dumb. No, the dumb man is the one who never asks a question. A man who's wise realizes there's always things out there that he needs to hear, he needs to listen, and he needs to learn. You go further in chapter 9 and verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Proverbs 12, verse 1. "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." Proverbs 18, verse 15 says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." How willing are we to grow in our knowledge, to learn something new, to have a deeper understanding? I find out every week as I prepare not only the lessons for the pulpit, but for the Bible classes, there's so much I still do not know. So much more I want to know. I need to know. To be enlightened means to say, I see this, but there's all so much more out there that I need to know. The Bible speaks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In the book of Job, chapter 34, verse 3, Elihu is there. There's a lot of things Elihu said that God did not approve of. But there's one thing that Elihu said that it was perfectly accurate. He said, "For the ear test words as the palate taste food." The ear tests the words just like the palate, the mouth, tastes food. Permit me, if you will, one more personal illustration. On our flight to Germany, they served us a meal. They asked us what you wanted. I don't know what the other choice was, but I chose roast beef. Opened up my little tray and ate the food. I knew what the beef was, but there was some purple stuff over on the side. I had no idea what that was. Took a bite of it, and it was awful. Found out it was purple cabbage. I know now I don't like purple cabbage, at least the way they prepared it. And our mouths taste food. We understand there's some things that are bad. We don't like them. Distasteful. There are other things that are good and beneficial. And the ear that's wise, that listens and learns, understands there's good stuff out there. To be tasted, to be enjoyed. You know, the Hebrew writer talks about and tasted the good Word of God. It's just got a great value to it. Where is that great source of enlightenment to be found? Psalm 119, verses 98 through 100. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because of your precepts. David said, if I look in the Bible and your word, I find there that I can have greater enlightenment than my teachers, than my enemies, and even the people of old. And you come to verses 104 and 105. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Enlightenment. God still speaks today through His Word, through the words that are contained in the Bible. And the question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are you willing to let yourself be taught by God, as Jesus said in John 6 and verse 45?